Welcome, everyone, to the January 17th episode of Zooch and Wild in the good year of our Lord 2025. We have a great show, a very simple show, is it an old school show? It's just game breakdowns. We're going to be talking about the Penn State versus Notre Dame game and all that entails. Great game. Talk a little Texas versus Ohio State. And then we are jumping into the national championship with our predictions with scores. I cannot wait for this show. As we left off last week, or our last show, we got one more game left, man. The season's almost over.
At least it goes long now. We get it all the way until it would be over. I mean, I think last night I was seeing like highlights from the LSU Clemson game from 4 or 5 years ago on my Twitter timeline. So
usually it would be earlier in the week is when the Natty would have been. Usually it's like that second weekend of January, but what a year it's been. Is it fair? You know, I mean, before we jump into the Penn State game, I know I said we jump right into it, but I mean, it's fair. I think this year has been a success. I have really enjoyed the playoffs, and to the absolute dorks who say, oh, it doesn't create any meaningful games. Like, yeah, they'll say like, oh, Ohio State versus Michigan is meaningless. Like all the big games were meaningless. Yeah. Well, what about the games that truly were meaningless that actually meant something, you know, maybe like a Florida Ole Miss or a UNLV Boise or a Army versus Notre Dame or Clemson versus South Carolina, like all these games that people wouldn't really give two rats asses about in a four team actually cared. And I think we've got that product on the field.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been kind of thinking about this all year. I think people sometimes have like good, I don't know if good intentions is the right phrase, but I don't think the 12-team playoff has watered down the regular season. I think people misplace what is watered down, and I do think bowl games are watered down, but I think that's because there is – I would like to meet the person who gave a realistic argument of why you need so many bowl games, because I think that is why you see so many opt-outs – and stuff like that is because it doesn't, and not for all 134 teams or however many there is now, but I don't think making a bowl game is that significant. It's kind of like, to me, like winning 20 games in basketball now. Like, oh yeah, college like yeah, yeah, like yeah, we won 20 games. Oh, we made a bowl game. It used to be, you know, you look at bowl, like, and I looked this up the other night. We've jumped up like 25 bowl games in this century. And that to me just does dilute what bowl games mean, because
I love the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Seriously, that's not, but the Pop-Tarts Bowl is an actual good bowl game between two ranked teams.
And that's what I mean is I think it should go back. And I get that there's money on the line and you have different sponsors who are basically paying for bowl games and that TV time and that at those ads during the holiday season. So I get why it happens, but like you said, it used to be, you know, oh, this team's 9-3, that team's 9-3. Yeah, neither one of them are going to be in the national championship, but it's still a good bowl game. And now it's, and even to the point of, like the G5 schools getting to play Power 5 schools. To me, it doesn't mean anything. And it's because there's like, it's not that much of a success anymore to make a bowl game. Like you have, like, I feel like every year now you see more 5-7 teams in one, or there's like 20 teams who are 6-6 in one. And that, I get, that's not a good season for most programs. I'm not talking about like Akron. Like, yeah, if Akron is 6-6 and makes a bowl game, or Louisiana Monroe, someone like that,
cheap
I
shots.
Get it.
Those are cheap shots right there. You know, we probably have a couple listeners, or maybe probably a single person who has listened who's an Akron or or ULM and General Booty. Come on.
That is true. So I think that's where people, I think they see that, and there's so many blowouts. I mean, I honest to God didn't even realize that there was a bowl game on the night of the Heisman Trophy.
Ted, I mean, it's interesting to see the bowl games, and the thing I'll say about it is I think you are seeing kind of like this. I hope we get almost like the renaissance of bowl games, because I do think, like you said, we've hit a point of oversaturation. But then I do think you get these bowls like the Pop-Tarts Bowl and the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and to maybe a lesser extent, maybe the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Like, you have to do something, for lack of a better terms, like you have to make it like unique and like weird, and almost like in this internet, like play into the joke that like this doesn't, like you said, this doesn't really mean anything except for like bragging rights. So might as well just make it just like insist upon itself and be like, this is funny. This is supposed to be funny. Like NC State playing Iowa State, that's funny. That's hilarious. Like, so I think in that
No, it
sense, you hit it right on the head. I completely agree. I think there is too many bowl games, and hopefully there's this natural selection out where all the bowl games will either have to step up, or they're going to get cut out for bowl games that will.
Yeah, and I think it's trending that way a little bit with a 12-team playoff, because I don't think the 4-team playoff made the other New Year's Six games meaningless. I still think those games are pretty meaningful because it was like an opportunity to say, like, hey, we're still real good. Like, we might not have gotten in that top four, but I mean, you saw it with Georgia last year. Like, you saw the two thought processes last year in that Georgia FSU game. All the FSU guys pretty much opt out. None of the Georgia guys do. We saw what happened there. And I think that kind of trickled into this. Oh, like the regular season doesn't matter. Nobody was saying that when Michigan beat Ohio State or Florida beat Ole Miss. They're saying it now. And it kind of goes along with the like, and I think it's the dumbest argument you see out there is this like sensationalism of being super happy that the SEC's not in the national championship game. Okay, well, you
I
have
mean,
Ohio
fair.
State,
I'm super happy that they're not
which
in.
that's fine. That's fine if you want to be like say like it's half you're happy that an SEC team isn't in it, but it's not like it's Arizona State and Boise State in it. It is first off Ohio State, who
Yeah.
is legitimately, I think I sent in the chat the other day, hasn't finished outside the top 10 in like 15 years since like
Yeah,
Luke Fickell was the interim.
most expensive roster in football, all that. Yeah, no, it's
And
been.
Notre Dame has had ups and downs and hadn't really been a top five team, but it's not like Notre Dame is this like.
I mean, it's the most valuable brand, probably. It's a top three most valuable brand in terms of money in college football.
Right. So it's
Well,
not like
speaking of,
they're
yeah.
little sisters of the poor. That's all I'm
Well,
saying.
I mean, that's a perfect segue. Let's jump into the semifinal games. The Penn State Nittany Lions, we're going to jump into the Orange Bowl. Last Thursday, Penn State played Notre Dame, and first of all, let's just call it what it is. That was an incredible game. That
A fantastic game.
if you were a CFB hater, that game was your worst enemy, because that is everything I want in a college football game. It's disgusting. You got 20-year-olds just making idiot decisions. You have 20-year-olds who are better than other 20-year-olds by a mile. For example, like Tyler Warren looked like the best offensive player on the field and playing guys who probably won't even sniff a CFL roster. Like, and it came down to the end, and it was beautiful. Like, that was my initial takeaway before getting into any like breakdown, before giving into some thoughts, because I do have thoughts. Just like, I really appreciated that game. We needed that game.
Yeah, I mean it has everything you wanted in it, really. Like you have Penn State, and I won't say it's a big lead. 10 points isn't a big lead. It's a like, all right, we gotta get things going type lead if you're Notre Dame. But I texted you at halftime. I said, I think Notre Dame is gonna come back in this one.
It was
Just
crazy. Like, it was the backup quarterback. Like, this is a crazy. Like, it looked like for a sec, Because I didn't believe you. It looked like for a sec, Penn State scores, they go up 10-0. It's like this game's gonna get out of hand. Like this is going to be an out of hand game. I think Penn State really, really is shooting themselves in the foot, and just I think the most underrated part of the game that Penn State fans are gonna stress over, because we'll get to the obvious one at the end of the game soon. But that first drive where they get a penalty to get an extra 3 plays and still don't punch it in for a touchdown. I think that is a very overlooked part of the game where Notre Dame's going, it doesn't matter how much you punch us in the face, like we're gonna keep this thing close. And to the backup quarterback's credit for Notre Dame, man, he stepped up at a big time when Riley Leonard, it looked like, I texted you. The one thing I texted you was, I think Riley Leonard's gonna make me look like an idiot, because I just said he was gonna play better than Drew Aller. In the first half, that was just not the case at all.
No, and I think a big thing that some Penn State, and like you said, I'll talk about the end of the game later. But I really think that where Penn State lost the game was they couldn't score inside the red zone. And they got,
No.
like, realistically, you could look at it and say they got bailed out. I won't say twice because the first one was definitely pass interference. But that second one, they really got bailed out on. The pass interference called on Notre Dame. I think that would, like, I mean, Notre Dame gets the ball right there. Like, that takes a touchdown away from Penn State. And they, like, except for that drive that they, after Notre Dame took the lead, when Penn State came back down and took the lead, they were driving okay for a lot of the game. I thought the announcers were being a little bit over
Well,
dramatic with how good their offense was doing, but
I mean, you had Greg McElroy in a suit that was 2 sizes too small for him, which he's been doing all year. I think I pointed this out. Like, whoever Greg McElroy's tailor is, or maybe he's just saving. Like, maybe he's just like me. Hey, I totally respect. If you like the suits you got, you like them. But like, someone needs to tell that guy, like, maybe the slim fit. Okay, now I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sounding like a mean guy right now. Carry on. Sorry. I did not want to call Greg Malcolm. All I'm saying is, I would wear if I could, Greg, I would love to take you to a tailor to get you some suits that I think could fit you more modernly in the eyes of
That's
someone
fair.
who is a little bit younger.
That is fair. He needs to, he is a flip-flopper in games. He's like, and
He
it
really
was
is.
the
He really
funniest
is.
thing was to me, I was like sitting there at halftime, I'm like, you would think that Penn State had like 28 points and they have 10. It's not like, I mean, granted they dropped, like Drew Aller missed a touchdown pass that could have made it 14 in the first half. But it's, he was, they were kind of talking about it like it was that Ohio State Oregon game where it's like, oh my God, they're like, there's no chance they get.
I think it was just like Notre Dame looked so bad, and then Notre Dame in the first half, and then Notre Dame came out in the second half, and like Riley Leonard played like a guy who's like, holy crap, like he played like a guy who sat down alone at halftime and said, who just took everything in and realized what was going to happen if he continued to play that way, and was like, I got to step my performance up. And to
Yeah,
his
and he had.
credit, he stepped up and he delivered throws. And another thing, we're going to, we keep alluding to this. Oh, like talk about the reason why Penn State lost the game. I mean, it comes down to two reasons, Zuch. One, they did not have an explosive, like the wide receiver problem, because it is a problem. It is a humongous problem. The wide receiver problem at Penn State came to full fruition. I'm sorry, you can't have a washed Julian Fleming be your number one option. Like, I mean, the wide receivers did not have a single catch. And usually that would be the number one issue, but it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because Drew Aller threw an absolute stinker. I mean, when he wasn't thrown to Tyler Warren, Zuch, I have this stat for you, man. Look at this. Drew Aller went 12. Drew Aller went 12 for 23 passing with an interception, and had an interception called back, two interceptions called
Two,
back.
yeah.
He 12 for 23 with one interception, but two other balls that ended up in Notre Dame's hands. And the one at the end, I am not a one play loses the game guy, because but that is just inexcusable. And you know what the first thing that went through my head is, and I don't know if it went through your head too,
What's
Brett
that?
Favre versus the Saints.
Well, and
That
I did
that's
kind of
literally
feel.
what went through my head. It's like throwing across the body, like you just can't do it.
No, and that's what I mean is, as an overall, like Drew Aller's going to get a lot of the blame. We've talked about this before. Quarterbacks are going to take a lot of the blame. But it, and I guess their game was first, but it kind of, his performance kind of reminded me of Herbert, Justin Herbert, the other day. Because I think Drew Aller is, I don't think he's bad by any stretch of the imagination. But, and I don't think Justin Herbert's bad. But there are times with Drew Aller that he has a game like that, that you're like, man, like, what was going on? And you don't, like, I don't want to put the blame fully on him because
I don't know
it
who to
can't
put on
just be the
either.
quarterback that the reason that the receivers didn't get a catch. Like, there's something going on there to where either the
And it's not,
receivers just aren't good enough or they
and
schematically they're just not drawing.
there's no way you go into a game without like designing a play for wide receivers in the passing attack. And Drew Aller, look, I've been a Drew Aller hater, or like I am not the Drew Aller fan, but he's played well this year. He's played better that he's made a jump from last year to this year. I
And he's only
expect him to
thrown
make a
10
similar size jump from
interceptions
this.
in 2 years,
That's
which
what I
is
mean. Like
really good.
I look, if he makes a similar size jump in the next year, he'll play himself into a first round pick. But this it, it, that's this is why it's this chicken and the egg with me, because did Penn State lose the game because Drew Aller couldn't hit those tight windows, or they didn't trust Drew Aller enough to make the throws to wide receivers, or were the wide receivers just not generating space? Like I don't know. I don't get access to the All-22 film. So if I had that, Penn State, if you want to send it over, who's that Twitter Penn State guy that breaks down all the footage, who like was freaky? He freaked out over like some random penalty that would have had like no, like I don't know what he freaked out about. Was it Landon? He like freaked out about some penalty that would have had like no impact on the game whatsoever. It's like, dude, relax. Like James
Yeah, I mean,
Franklin is not looking at you for like twill, tw like tw like film analysts. Like I'm sure he pays people on his staff for that.
you would think, you would hope that Penn State, you it's they're I don't know what to say about them because it's like they're just like stuck in this.
Yeah, no, big game James.
Like,
Like, did he? It stinks because to you and me, right? Non-Penn State fans. I feel like Penn State had a way better year than they usually do. You make the semis. Look, you beat two top teams. Maybe they weren't the big name teams, but you beat SMU and Boise, and you're right there again with what could be the national champ. But big game James doesn't win again. And it stinks
well,
because
no,
I
and
don't even
it's.
feel like it wasn't even that. Usually I laugh because it's his fault. I don't even feel like that was his fault that last game. I
No,
just
and
thought a couple players just had brain farts and just didn't
yeah,
show up
and
on the Penn State team.
the same thing, and I had it pulled up. Give me one sec. The same thing happened in the Ohio State game when it came to scoring inside the red zone. Like, you look at it, and let me pull it up here. So they get, where did that go? Maybe I'm misremembering. I thought in that,
The Ohio State game. No, I mean, but
yeah.
even
Well, they got
without the
inside the
stat,
red zone, kicked a
I
field
told
goal.
that's right, yeah. And they just couldn't score. It's like they b besides
It is. Here's what I was thinking. First and goal at the Ohio State 3, interception. So that's 3 points in inside the red zone. Then they got to the Ohio State 31, so not really red zone, but red zone-ish field goal. And then they got down to the Ohio. That's I was right. They had two times they got first and goal at the Ohio, inside the Ohio State five and came away with no points. I don't even know how that's possible.
That's a sign of either not scheming playmakers, because what teams do in the red zone? They pack it in and they limit space and they play guys close, right? That tells me that there's not guys who can create their own space. It's like basketball shot makers, right? Like sometimes you need that guy that can create his own shot. It's awesome to have a bunch of catch and shoot guys, right? Who can drain shots all day, but every once in a while, man, you need a guy who can get a bucket. And it seemed like Penn State only had one get a bucket guy in Tyler Warren.
Right. Well, and what's weird with them is inside the five, and I don't know why, because it's not like Drew Aller is like he's big. He's like Peyton Manning size, but he doesn't move like Peyton Manning. He can like run when he has to. They've used him to run before, and it's like they get inside the five and no one thinks, oh, hey, we got a 6'5", 200-something pound quarterback, yeah, and we're on the 1 yard line. Let's try to sneak in, see what happens. Because odds, like, it's not like their offensive line is bad either. Like, just sneak in and see what happens. Coaches at the 1 yard line always overthink the situation.
Yeah, Penn State. I mean, I'll tell you, wasn't overthinking though. Talk a little about Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman is ascending at a extremely rapid rate. That was the perfect game for Notre Dame. They played that game to a T. Like, that's how Notre Dame wants it to go. Just keep grinding. Riley Leonard made the plays when he had to. That back shoulder to that wide receiver, just a beautiful throw on third down to keep that drive alive. And, you know, we kept talking about that Penn State defense all week. In terms of the breakdown, maybe a couple guys on the Notre Dame defense hurt us, because that Notre Dame defense, they didn't look too far behind the Penn State defense in terms of talent and the way they play. They looked good, but Notre Dame, there's just this team, you know, although I will push back. So many people in the national media are going like, Notre Dame, man, they're not the most talented as other people. I'm like, okay, this is an entire team of 4-star recruits, and maybe that they don't have as many 5-stars, but let's be real. 5-stars, and the difference between a 5-star and some 4-stars are very slim. I think I was listening to this podcast and they said all a 5-star is an economy to give recruiting coordinators bonuses where they can get those kids to come to their school. So let's pump the brakes on Notre Dame, a bunch of, oh, it's the little guy. No, these guys are absolute machines. They're athletes. And Marcus Freeman has got them playing so hard. I think Marcus Freeman could actually convince these kids to, like, kill someone for him. Like, this is a humming team right now.
No, he is, like, the embodiment of one of those, like, 80s or 90s coaches who, like, somehow convinces all these guys to, like, legitimately, like, they would go to war for Marcus Freeman. And it's been fun to watch, just because he's a likable guy. He's a young guy, which makes him, like, even more interesting, in my opinion, that he's young and not, you know, like, Saban was interesting, but Saban was older. Even once he got to Alabama, I mean, he was an older guy, so... It's going to be interesting to see. We get a rematch of that game. And I remember watching that game. Notre Dame dropped an interception and would have won that game against Ohio State a couple years ago. But they like dropped an interception that hit the guy right in the chest.
We are going to talk about that later. And I cannot wait to talk about the dance of that. But we're going to talk about the second semifinal game, talking about the Cotton Bowl, Texas versus Ohio State in the frigid temperatures of Texas. There was a snowstorm during this game. So maybe that's why Ohio State played well, because they were like at home with kind of like the cold and chilliness. This was another good game. The score is very misleading, obviously, because of the Jack Sawyer strip sack touchdown at the end. But I felt like this was another very misleading game. It was close. But I felt, and you could tell if I'm wrong or you disagree, this game kind of felt like, while Penn State Notre Dame truly did feel like a back and forth, this to me felt like Ohio State was always running like a 50, 53% to 56% control of the game. Like they all like, and Texas was keeping it close, right? But I always felt like Ohio State just had that little edge over it. Even going in to that last drive with Texas, that would have only pushed him in the overtime, and I would have still bet on Ohio State to come out of that overtime.
Yeah, it just felt like, and that was the weird thing about Texas this year is it felt like every time, and I guess the Arizona State game was a little bit different, but it kind of felt to me like every time Texas won a game this year, it was because they were in control, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Like
no.
they.
They good defense. That's how they played. Like they have the flashy quarterback and team, but they truly were like a defensive first team this year.
Yeah, and it's like I like look back, and I mean their only other losses were to Georgia, but even in those games, they never offensively could find, which is weird for a Steve Sarkisian team. Usually it's like flip-flop, and it's like they kind of struggle defensively, but the offense is usually pretty good. And this year, this I don't know, the offense never. And he said after the game that Quinn Ewers has basically just been hurt since he got to Texas, is what it sounded like.
I
But
mean, it's gonna
it.
be interesting. Go for it. Sorry.
Well, and the issue with that is, and I mean, I'll say it, like he was fiercely loyal to Quinn Ewers, but I've seen a lot of people saying like Arch Manning should have been in, blah, blah, blah. You can't. There's a no-win situation in that because if he throws Arch Manning in there, who's played sparingly since like September, and it like goes to shit, then everyone's gonna be like, oh, why'd you throw Arch Manning in there? Like
Better than
Quinn
what you
Ewers
got.
got you here, like.
I mean, Quinn
But yeah,
Ewers
they
has got
just.
to be sorry, go for it again.
Oh no.
I feel like Quinn Ewers has been
Well.
the most hated. Texas fans seem to like want to rip this guy apart. And look, Quinn Ewers hasn't played as well this year. Like Carson Beck, he hasn't taken the jump he did last year. He kind of looks like the same quarterback when you're expecting him. We were all expecting him to rise to this first round quarterback, and he's still kind of, personally to me, kind of in that fourth, fifth round grade, right?
Right.
But all he did was go to back-to-back semifinals, man. All he
I
did was like win games. And it's
Yeah,
interesting because this is a guy who's probably either going to have to go to the NFL or transfer. Because I mean, Manning, no chance Manning sits out another year.
I don't know.
No chance.
No, and it's, and it wasn't just him, like they. I think what kind of hurt them too was they had a bunch of injuries at the begin in the off season, like during fall camp and stuff like that, to running backs, which can hurt your offensive game plan. And not as I'm not even saying as much that like, oh, Texas won't like doesn't have good running backs, like after their second guy, they do, but it like blocking comes into that, and just like little different things come into that, and it just. Really, for I mean, I can pull it up real quick. The last, like, you look at them this year, and you know, they scored. I'm trying to see how much, they scored over 49 point, which is this one is just like looking back wild. They scored over 49 point or over 40 points 3 times. They did against Colorado State, UTSA, and they won that. And that's what I mean. It's like it's so weird because looking like we talked about it earlier in the season, they looked like they were back to being good offensively against Oklahoma. And then they put up 15 against Georgia, 27 against Vanderbilt. And they have the Florida game where you're like, oh, 49 points. Maybe the offense is going now. And then after that, they scored 20 points against Arkansas, 31
And
against
I think that
Kentucky.
kind of goes to the Quinn Ewers performance this year. It's just been
Yeah.
inconsistent. He shows you flashes of, dude, this guy's a first round pick. Like this guy, I mean, I'm trying to figure out a good NFL comp, almost like a smaller version of like CJ Stroud. Kind of plays a little bit like a peak version of Baker Mayfield, but then he'll just give you kind of like that was slop. It's just sloppy performances. And maybe he is hurt. You know, he got hurt. Arch did play for that stretch. But that's also, you know, what is the old man saying? The best ability is availability. Yep. So, I mean, if the injuries are affecting his play, it's affecting the whole team around him. To Ohio State, Will Howard continues to play consistently. This was an Ohio State game. And Ryan Day, while it was close, I do feel like the offense kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit. This is how I think Ryan Day needs to call games. Like, and we're going to get into it with Notre Dame because I feel like there's some potential here where Ryan Day is going to have the fork in his road because we've talked about it. Ohio State wins games like with the blitzkrieg, FU, where we're going to just roll it out right at the beginning. No, like, none of this ball control, none of this, like, try to play conservatively. We're going to get our athletes going because they are better than your athletes.
Right. Yeah, well, that, like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird because, like, the Ohio State offense, like, looked good at times during that game, and then there's other times it was kind of similar to the Penn State-Notre Dame game, except Notre Dame was able to come out on top. Because there was times where it felt like, oh, like, if Ohio State scores here, like, it's going to be over. But there, I think what's getting lost in the Ohio State win is their offense looked inconsistent during big portions of that game,
yeah,
too. It's not, you know, I'm trying to look at their drives real quick because 7 points came from a strip sack at the end of the game. So, like, had that not happened, you have 21 points. I guess maybe they would have went down and scored. Yeah, but, you know, they scored on the first drive. They went 10 plays and 64 yards. And then after that, punt, 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 punt. And that's what the other one was. They had that at the end of the first half, they had the one play for 75 yards.
Yeah.
That was like kind of, I don't care what anyone says, that's kind of a broken down play. Like, you're not, Ohio State fans can say whatever they want to. You were not expecting the score on that play. That was a, that to me seems like a more of a.
No, it definitely is an issue, but it is. And that's what I mean by, like, it just felt like Ohio State should have been doing more of that. You know, Quinshon Judkins, like, you have all these guys, but it still seems like they're limited. And I think they're, is it fair to say they're limited because of the quarterback position? I know it's beating a dead horse. We're at almost the last of the year, but, like.
Well, no.
Are they limited because of Will Howard?
Like, if you really, like, if I was Pete Kwiatkowski at Texas, and you're like watching the game film after it, I'm overall not too mad at how the defense played. They, like, I have it pulled up in front of me. Ohio State legitimately had, you know, the first, like I said, the first drive was a touchdown. The rest of the half, they punted until the one play, 75 yards, and then interception, second half, interception, punt, punt. And then a finally 13-play, 88-yard drive touchdown in the fourth quarter. So, if you really look at it, they had two sustained drives the whole game. And then, like, it's not – like, I'm not saying that's, like – that means their offense can't score or anything like that, but it's not – it's not like they were going up and down the field at will, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I think that is like something, if you're Notre Dame, you look at that and you're like, okay, well, this offense isn't, you know, like, because I saw someone saying the other night, oh, is this the best offense since Joe Burrow's LSU? No, they're not even.
That first of all, you cannot have Will Howard as your quarterback and be considered the best in anything. Sorry. And Will Howard is a good quarterback. Okay. Good number, 18, my favorite number. But still, it's a number I wore. Sorry, Will Howard. Yeah. I have bias towards. It's an awesome jersey. You look great in that jersey, man. And you're a good player. But no, right. Sorry. You, that is you're not the best offense because they've had these issues, like you said, Zuch, where it's just they'll look like the explosive athletes, and then it'll just be like there's like a screw missing because everything looks like it should be working, but it's not.
Right. No, that's what I mean. It's like it's not like the offense was unstoppable at any point in that game. One, two, three, four, five, six. They punted six times and they had, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 drives. 6 times in 10 drives. They punted, and like I said, two of those drives were really good. It must have been 7 punts. Two of the drives were long, actual sustained drives. And what I mean by that, it
Yes.
wasn't one play 75 yards is on a screen pass is a broken play. I'm
It
sorry,
is.
but that's
It
like
is.
that's and like good on Ohio State. Like it was a good time to call it because I'm sure Texas was like kind of waiting on, they'll probably try to like throw it once or twice and see if they can get the field goal range. It's the end of the half. And we'll see what happens. They clearly weren't ready for a screen that went 75 yards, but.
No, they weren't, and I think that's kind of Texas thing. In those games, you
And
kind of got to get the plays. You like
there was
those are the
29
plays that end the
seconds
game.
left in that drive, too. So that's what I mean is part of me also thinks Texas was probably preparing for them to, like, all right, they have the lead at half. Like, they're going to have or we're going to be tied at halftime. They don't want to risk anything. Like,
And that's why
and
I
it's
do.
a lose-lose because Georgia
I'll
did try
end
to
it
go
with,
out and score, and you saw what happened to them. Like,
but
so.
I'll say this: this is where I'll end it. Like, that's what I mean. Like, Ryan Day needs to do that. Like, that is Ohio State. Like, not this, like, kind of conservativeness that he can get into. Like Chip Kelly, I need a hat, but instead of Make America Great Again, it needs to be Make Chip Kelly 2011 again. Like, that's the kind of shit that he needs to be doing, man. Like, I don't, like, it's just like, yeah, calling screen passes, being aggressive, but we'll
Well,
see.
and it's been a season-long thing for Ohio State too. They've had a few games that they haven't, they're not out, it's not like they're out there averaging, 56 points a game. It's they've had quite a few games where they've been held under 25 or so. So I don't
We will see.
necessarily buy into the like they're going to put up 45 on Notre Dame, which we're about to get into.
We will get into that. But before we get into that, we will quickly be doing our weekly segment, The List, where we bring you tweets that we get on Twitter in the Burnerverse in the college football world. Funny college football memes, sometimes just regular memes. As always, we neither support these nor condone these. Somewhere in the middle, we are just reporters bringing you guys the stuff that we see online. Zuch, I'm going to start it off. I got a couple this week. The first one comes from at Clemson Pepe, and it just says Riley Leonard and Drew Aller. Just search up at Clemson Pepe, Riley Leonard and Drew Aller, and the photo is of a certain video, a screenshot of a YouTube video, which I cannot say. But just do it. Trust me, guys. The second one is that I can't do that one. I can't do that one. The third one is from at Offense OPY Chase. Must be a big Ja'Marr Chase fan.
That
Yep. Nope. Yep. And so you already know the one I'm talking about. It's Quinn Ewers pocket awareness be like. And then it is a video, and it's of a moose getting hit by a truck on the interstate. Just not good. My third one comes from Zuchi. You may have this one too, because from at NBA Tet Boy, and this has nothing to do with anything college football playoff related, but it says, "I hear Malachi Nelson has NIL offers from Rib Hut and at Chico and Chico's Tacos." Hashtag satire. Mean. And I think this guy's a UTEP fan. We wish Malachi nothing but the best, man. I hope he balls out and, kind of weird situation with him, but I hope that he plays well. And the ass one, the last, not the ass one, the last one comes from at Rismani Rowe. And it was one that banged this week in the Burnerverse. And it was just average XL Peter Millar wear. And it was just this guy. It was just a picture of this guy. So, yeah, that's what I had for the week. Had some good ones. So, Zooch. I'll toss it to you real quick.
Well, you had two of my three on here.
Which ones did I have? The Malachi and
The Malachi and the Drew Aller
the Quinn
pocket
Ewers.
presents or Quinn Ewers
That
pocket presents.
was a good one. That was a unique one too. That I was like, what the heck?
Was like, I was not ready for that one. And the last one is one close to home. And it is a guy who we share a lot of his tweets. He is getting pretty famous on the Boise State Twitterverse. And
Oh my
he.
gosh. Is this so this was the one I didn't say, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh my gosh. This is yeah, this is good, guys. This is some classic Boise State Twitter world right here.
So it came out that probably our biggest like news guy, BJ Raines, was following Sidney Thomas on Twitter, which I pointed out to the fellas a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, look, hey, BJ Raines follows Sidney Thomas. So,
Ball knower, ball knower.
anyway, another fan saw it and was like, oh, BJ knows ball. And took a screenshot of Sidney Thomas's profile, and it said followed by BJ Raines. BJ Raines came up, said a story of like her dad, which was the funniest tweet out of all of them, was her dad is the Joey Jenkins of Cardinals games. Which I don't know why I laughed at that for like 30 minutes when he said that.
Who is Joey Jenkins? Like, I is this some like
He's like a
inside
guy who
joke that I
like
don't get?
a hype man for the games. He'll be like screaming like.
Oh,
He'll like
okay.
you'll be down one and have the ball with like 8 seconds left at a basketball game, and he's like screaming
Oh,
into
he's
the
that
mic
guy?
when you're
Okay.
Leon Rice is like trying to draw up a play and like please shut the
Yes.
hell up. Anyways, Gabe Iguodala, great account to follow, just
But
tweeted
also
at
very borderline list. Gabe
yes,
Iguodala is always bordering the list.
yes. He just tweeted in response to the people pointing out that BJ Raines follows Sidney Thomas. Freaky ah, BJ.
That is a true list, Gabe Iguodala.
Yeah,
Nothing
he's
wrong with being a
been.
ball knower. Nothing wrong with being a ball knower. Sidney Thomas, and that's actually a crazy fun fact that I don't know. That honestly. I want to thank BJ for giving me a way out when someone tells me, why are you following Sidney Thomas? I'm going to say, well, her dad's the Joey Jenkins of Cardinals baseball.
Exactly. What you didn't know? That's exactly why I mean, Gabe is always borderline list. Like when Carson Beck said he was entering the portal, he said March for Beck. He, just said choose your fighter, short hair Meadow or spiky hair BJ.
This is just, and Gabe Iguodala also. This is a, I mean, like we said, he's a funny guy, funny account, but he was also the one that spearheaded the tossing the goalpost into the river. So if you are a Facebook mom or dad and we're pissed off about that, I point your anger towards Gabe Iguodala.
Yeah, that's where you need to go. Like I said, great follow, but as you said, he is very much on the watch list right now.
Oh, that was a solid list. A very Boise list. I like that. Put it local. We're supporting local business. Let's move on, man. The national championship. Last thing we're going to talk about, the last game of the year, man. I am so excited for this game. I think, like you said, no Southern team in it for the second year in a row. I'm sure the weirdos who let TV ratings can control their sport, and whether they like it or not are going to hate this because, of course, it's probably going to be a couple million viewers less than what it Notre Dame. It like it's Notre Dame, Ohio State. Like you said, for anyone who's like, ha ha, like SEC's not in it. It's not like the little guys in it. Like sometimes you get in
No.
college basketball. Like literally, it's Ohio State and Notre
It's
Dame. It's
not
everything you
Texas
want in
Tech and
college.
Virginia. It's Notre Dame,
Yeah.
the most far and away, the most nationally followed team, probably in college sports, not just college football. Like any mall you go into, their sports store, I guarantee you they have Notre Dame gear. And that can't be said for most other teams. It's a huge It's a gen the biggest Catholic school in the United States, so they're going to have fans all over the country. And Ohio State's a big school too, so I mean, you might see some sort of a dip, but I don't know. Like it's a
It'll just be
national
whether the South,
championship.
we'll see if the South shows up and whether they just like stroking themselves or whether they actually like ball. But there's so many storylines in this game. There's the Lou Holtz, Ryan Day. There's the Marcus Freeman connection with Ohio State. There's these two quarterbacks who are very, very similar in the fact that kind of the national media and everyone has kind of felt like it's not them, but their team has kind of brought them there and they've been along for the ride. It's just a lot of stuff happening. At first, I want to jump into can we start with the funny one? I mean,
The Lou Holtz.
Ryan Day and Lou Holtz. I mean, this is going to be hilarious. I mean, what will what do you like? First of all, you already know they're going to bring Lou Holtz out. Like something's going to happen with Lou Holtz, and Ryan Day is going to try to underplay it. But you already know, like Ryan Day wants to like Homer Simpson, Bart Simpson, like ring Lou Holtz out and like put him 6 feet under.
Yeah, and the Ryan Day can't really walk back from it because he had such a meltdown over what a 90-year-old man said about it. It's like, if you like, and I thought about that afterwards, I was like, that is the reaction Lou Holtz wanted to get out of you by saying that he was hoping like you would have a complete meltdown on national television like you did, instead of just like, and it's not like Lou Holtz is like. Like to me, it kind of looked like Ryan Day takes himself way too seriously. Lou Holtz doesn't. He literally went on Pat McAfee's show with the guy who mocks Lou Holtz list and like had a conversation. So Lou Holtz isn't like a guy who like takes himself overly serious. I think Lou Holtz is like, yeah, like I'm a short, older guy who used to coach football with a list, like, but I'm also like I've won national championships, like coach at the University of Notre Dame and had success. It was like really their last coach to have the ultimate success. We'll see
Hey,
what
Charlie
Marcus
Weiss
Freeman
was good
does.
too, okay? I mean, we can't forget about Charlie Weiss.
The he who must not be named.
I hear he has a good son now too, co-coach and ball.
I go back and forth on the son of Charlie Weiss,
You think if he
CWG.
changed his last name, it would be better for Charlie Weiss Jr.? Did you think if he started going by like his middle name? Like if it was Charlie whatever Jr. Like was he just went by like Charlie whatever?
It would probably be better for him because a lot of Ole Miss fans are just like, Ole Miss will lose. It's like, oh, how's your fat ass dad doing? Stuff like that on his Twitter account, which is mean and uncalled for. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, I think it's just two different person. Like, I'm not saying the Ohio State guys don't like Ryan Day, but I don't know that they love Ryan Day. Like, Notre Dame seems to love Marcus Freeman. Like, and Marcus Freeman is like, he kind of gets away with a little bit because he is so likable. And like, if Notre Dame turns into a power and starts winning national championships, this will change. But he's kind of always on the refs too. Like, if you watch Notre Dame,
I have no. He's
he's
the,
kind
the
of.
these are both kind of uptight beings, and it's just kind of the story of like, does Ryan Day finally break through the hump? And like I said last week, an Ohio State national championship covers all wounds from this year, whether it's not making the Big Ten championship and lose or losing to Michigan. It covers everything. Or does Marcus Freeman, like I said, pretty much shoot himself into the top three coaches in the sport. Probably like it would be what? Kirby Smart and then serious
Yeah.
conversation to put Marcus Freeman at number two.
Right.
Like
It's like,
honestly.
no, I mean, he has kind of come in there. It's the weirdest thing ever because, like we talked about a little bit last week, they went out on a limb, hired a guy who had never coached as a head coach before, after Brian Kelly, who had been pretty successful at Notre Dame, hadn't won, a big bowl game or a national title, but bunch of 10-win years, some 11-win years, New Year's Six appearances, national championship game appearance. So if Marcus Freeman in his third year Like, I don't know if there's anything bigger you can do in college football than win a national championship
No,
at
there is.
Notre Dame. Like, it's, and I get, Alabama's a great school, USC is a great school, Ohio State, Jim Harbaugh doing it at Michigan. I get all that. But when, like, Notre Dame is a true, true blue blood. And not that like Ohio State isn't, but Notre Dame winning a national title is gets eyes that like won't like I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people just like Notre Dame. So if they win the national title, you're gonna get a lot more eyeballs on the sport than if Alabama had won it again or Georgia or Ohio State or even USC. So that's why I guess that's why I think it's like really the biggest thing you can do in college football is win a national title at Notre Dame because that it, the academics are different. It's, a lot it you can't go to Notre Dame and have like a 2.2 G. It just that's not how the school runs its program and they never I mean they that's just how it is. So that you don't have the leeway, I guess, that you would at a bunch of other schools. So it's honestly super impressive if they if he can get it done.
No, it'll be interesting to see. Well, the matchup I think I'm looking forward to the most in this game is I want to see, or it's not even a matchup, more of so of a mind game. We mentioned the Lou Holtz thing. Does Ryan Day try to play right into Notre Dame's hands? Because it'd be like, but like, how does Ryan Day attack this Notre Dame defense, or how does Chip Kelly attack this Notre Dame defense? Does it get Michigan game-esque, or does he say "fuck you," and like they fire on all cylinders and becomes Oregon game-esque? Like
It,
those are
yeah, I
two
mean,
real options. Those are two very real options for Ohio State.
yeah, and it's like a, it's the whole thing is very interesting to me because Penn State did have a lot of success running the ball against Notre Dame. And some of that's due to like, Notre Dame's at this, and everybody is at
That's
this point in
another
the
thing.
season.
Penn State, sorry to go back on Penn State. I felt like this was the one thing I forgot to say. I felt like Penn State was running the ball for 5 yards a carry, and then they felt like they had to throw because they had Drew Aller.
They did
Sorry.
that against Boise State too, and it didn't make
Yeah.
any sense to me. And I was in the stadium. I was like, "Why
Stupid.
are you?" I was like, "Why are you running?" Like,
Sorry to go back
I
on
had
Penn State,
one,
but
I
that was
had
like,
one
yep.
meltdown in the Boise State game. It was like when we had like our fifth all start. I was like, "Listen to the," I like screamed, "Listen to the cadence." And the woman next to me is like,
Well,
"He's right. He's right."
was it at least it wasn't so, ne never mind. Not gonna go there. But
And I do have, I forgot to mention, I do have resident Sooner fan Cody Voisin's projection for the game. He went into a 45-minute ramble on, you know how he can get where you can't even get a word in edgewise on one of his rants about how the boys want to play for Marcus Freeman and.
yep, I bet. Was there anything discussed, X's and O's, or was it just strictly off vibes?
No, it was just like, and it was the boys want to play for Marcus team, Marcus Freeman, and whoever drafts Tyler Warren is gonna get a man at that position. He is Gronk and
He is
George
a man.
Kittle and Travis
Facts.
Kelce-esque.
Facts. He is a man. Fact. 100% fact. Tyler Warren is a man.
And that James Franklin should go back to coaching Vanderbilt, even though he was
Love that quote.
literally.
That's one of my favorite Cody quotes of all time. Is that James Franklin should go back to coaching Vanderbilt and the Liberty Bowl. But back to the national championship. Sorry, everyone. We just got caught on the tangent. I am looking forward to seeing how Chip Kelly attacks this defense. Because like you said, they had some time, some success at times running the ball. Ohio State, though, has been at its best when it's kind of like this balanced offense, very aggressive. We're running it, but we're also doing some outside runs. We're doing some swing passes or screen passing. We're firing the ball down the field. I think if they go the fire, the way I think it's going to go out is I think if they go the route of trying to fire it down the field, I think Ohio State is going to find success. I just have this feeling if they try to do like the whole, oh, we're going to like play it around, play it swings, whatever. I see Notre Dame stopping that. I truly do.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I honestly feel like either team can win this game. And I guess I'm just going to go back to what I said at the beginning of the playoff, where I had the winner of Notre Dame and Georgia winning national title. And that's why I'm going to pick Notre Dame. Like, I think that they just, to me, they kind of have a feel right now that they're not letting anything get, like, it doesn't matter if they're overmatched, the underdog, any of that kind of stuff. They just have found ways to win since that NIU game. And even when, like, it, like, looked really dark, like that Penn State game the other night, like, looked super dark. You're down 10-0. You're having no offensive success whatsoever. And they come out and, like, make great halftime adjustments and come out and win, you know. Even in that Georgia game, like, that one was as close as it could get at halftime. They find a way to pull away, hang on. So I guess we'll see. I mean, I guess I could see an alternative where Ohio State just plays like everyone says Ohio State was going to play this whole year, and it looks like the Oregon game, but I don't know. I really don't know.
So like I said, I see this game going one of two ways. Either the aggressive Ohio State comes out, the 2011 Chip Kelly comes out, that defense, Jack Sawyer, a guy playing with his butt on fire, with everything to prove, just a pissed off guy at the world, and they come out and it is like just they smoke them. I also see another scenario. Timothée Chalamet doomed. Stay with me now. I'm seeing the paths. I think Ryan Day and the whole Lou Holtz tough team pressure, get the monkey off my back, try so hard to like not take it seriously. Like be like, oh, none of that's a big deal. He takes it so unseriously that he takes it seriously. Like I think Ryan Day needs to do like some sort of like what is that like what's that what's what I'm calling it? Like rejection exposure therapy. Ryan Day needs like exposure therapy with all this. If there's a clip this, Ryan Day needs to go like full B Rabbit in 8 Mile. Like I am white, I am a fucking bum. I do live in a trailer with my mom. And like he needs to do like, yeah, I am Ryan Day. I am cringy. I have failed in the past. I have lost to Michigan. You know what? Like sometimes my teams do play soft. Sometimes we don't show up. But guess what? We're here right now. We are Ohio State. We're going to play Ohio State football, and that scored 40 points by halftime and throw it in our second stringers and then just being the most insufferable people on the planet. That is what Ohio State should do. Do I think they will do it? No.
Well,
No, I
and
don't.
part.
And that's why I am with you. I think Notre Dame's going to win another sluggy mud fest.
Well, and I think that's been the biggest difference between Marcus Freeman and Brian Kelly is Marcus Freeman, and I knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, but he hasn't gotten blown out in these big games. They might not have, you know, won the Ohio State game a couple times they played him in his first 2 years, but they were a lot closer than, I mean, Brian Kelly would get in some of these games and it would be 38-3, and that just hasn't happened. Like, yeah, Marcus Freeman has had like the losses to Marshall and NIU that are you can't really explain, but especially that, like, that is just would be so wild to look back on and be like, wow, this Notre Dame team lost to NIU
Yeah.
and won
Hey,
the national title.
Mountain West win right there.
But it's like in a weird way, it kind of reminds me of, and granted, like, that like Ohio State team was like killed a bunch of people, but so did Notre Dame leading up into this. Do you, like the last time Ohio State won a national title, they lost to Virginia Tech, like the second game of the season, and that Virginia Tech team was like 5-7 or something. I'll look at
Beamer ball.
seven, yeah, 7-6. So it's not like, and I yes, I'm aware that Virginia Tech is better than NIU, but it's not like a 6-6 Virginia Tech was like a world beater, and they just got,
That's fair. Do you
Ohio State got hot.
have a score?
I'm going to go 24-13 Notre Dame.
Wow, I'm going to go 27-20. Nope. Nope. I'm gonna go 28-27 Notre Dame.
That would be
I think we get an absolute classic. I think we get a classic. And I also think we get, if Notre Dame wins, I think we either get a Jack Sawyer complete meltdown or we get random Notre Dame fan in the stands, like crying, and like his wife is like just looks visibly upset because like she wants to like leave the stadium, and just some guy is like staying there, being like, "We gotta take it in, sweetie. Like this, we got here. We gotta take it in."
Well, hey, I
What of
mean,
those things will happen?
they've been waiting a long time for a national title, Notre Dame fans. So if they win, soak in every minute of it because you never know when it'll happen again. It's been almost 40 years since they've won. They won in 88. So that's
See.
a bunch of kids who are dads now who, I mean, like that's kind of how I think about it. It because I grew up a Notre Dame fan. Ole Miss wasn't on TV and
Yeah,
I'm Catholic,
88,
so
that's literally like 88's last time they won it. That is like not even like young dads. Like that's when my dad was in college.
yeah, so it's there's
Like
a bunch of
that's.
guys who are out there who have their kids are big Notre Dame, and like you shouldn't just base like last time you won a national title is the last time you had a good season. Notre Dame was good for the rest of Lou Holtz's tenure for the most part. They were really good in 93. They beat FSU, who won the national title. They just happened to lose to Boston College somehow the next week. But what I mean by that is, like, for someone like my age, for example, who the first year I remember watching them was like 2002. It's been what we're in 20, 23 years of like get yourself hyped up. Like there's certain years, like especially that Brady Quinn senior season that you were real excited and they just get killed by Michigan, killed by USC. Like that's just, how it's been for them for a long time. So, and Ohio State hasn't had that. I hate to break it to Ohio State fans. You won two national championships this century. So you have
That's
not,
right.
as Ohio State fans, shout out Peter, can pretend all they want that they've had it tough. No, you have not had it tough. Like losing in the playoff like
Pete.
virtually every year is
Shout
not
out
tough.
resident Ohio State fan Pete. We'll have to next season. This is what we call in the business a post credits teaser. We maybe some new potential characters. This year we have introduced resident Sooner fan Cody Voisin. Maybe we get some more resident fans coming in next college football season.
Yeah, we need to.
We have some in the pipeline. Let's just
We
say
also
that.
need Cody. I just want Cody to come on for 10 minutes one day and explain. I have never seen somebody go into an hour-long rant about Dallas Carter from Friday Night Lights and how good they were, and then spend 10 more minutes talking about Tim McGraw as a dad in Friday Night Lights.
Oh my God, it's classic stuff, man. But dude, this is our last episode. The next episode we do will be officially episode number one of postseason.
Yep.
This is the last one. I mean, what a great season it's been. This has just been incredible. You guys who have listening have made it awesome. We've gotten highest views on total on like our clips and our shows this year compared to last year. That doesn't happen unless for you guys. So we really appreciate all the support, seriously. Yeah, just a quick update too. We will be doing our next week, we'll be doing a reaction of the national championship. It'll be a quicker show since that'll be all that will happen next week. And then we will be doing our Zuch's one of his favorite shows, the way too early top 25, which will be fun, which will be
Oh, I'm
very, very
so
fun.
fun.
And then
And we're
we will
going to
be
keep
go.
it this year. We're going to keep it and see how it plays out.
Yeah.
We'll include that in our like post regular season show next year. Like we'll write down our top 25. We'll post it on social
Yep.
medias so we know
See,
where we
we
went
were.
completely
If
wrong.
you thought the playoff prediction was bad, you guys ain't seen nothing yet. Someone's either South Carolina or Florida is gonna make someone look super stupid.
Yep.
Both those teams can't be good. So you got to choose the right one. But then after that show, we will be taking an extended break, probably 3-ish weeks. Don't know how. And then we jump right into, we're going to be doing it just like last year, college basketball. And just get ready because that tournament challenge is coming back, guys. We had a lot of people do it last year, and we're going to be doing it again.
Yep, and we will
It
be in Las
same
Vegas
prize in Las Vegas.
for the first
I
opening
totally
weekend.
forgot. I told you, yeah. So we'll be in Vegas watching all of the games, with a lot of members of the Settle Down crew, Cody, Sean, Mant, maybe some others. Haven't confirmed yet, but still super, super excited and happy about how this season went, guys. Zuch, anything else?
Nothing else. Enjoy the last game of the season.
Enjoy it. Make sure to hit us follow button, subscribe, and we will see you next week after the national championship. I almost just left the studio. Now we are going to end the recording. Later, everyone.